God came into the world in an unlikely way. And he used unlikely people to deliver an unlikely message of good news, of great joy.
Building mature followers of Jesus Christ, Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Well, folks, as the Apostle John in his Gospel, the Gospel of John, famously said, he said what? That even the world itself could not contain all of the books that could be written about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing what we do have, what is written about him. But John said there was much more could be said about him. And the fact is, Jesus Christ is the center of human history, the most important person who's ever lived. And his victory over sin and death is the greatest achievement in all of history. And the forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal life through faith in him is the greatest gift ever given. So let us celebrate that this morning, give thanks for him, and consider anew the story of his first coming into this world. We'll be looking at it from the perspective of four biblical writers this Christmas season, from the perspective of Luke, from Matthew, and of John, and even the Apostle Paul. So four perspectives. The first one, their Christmas story according to Luke. Does that sound familiar? Something according to Luke? For the beginning of Matthew, it says what? The gospel according to Matthew. Is what? The gospel according to Luke, the gospel according to Mark, the gospel according to John, right? Well, we're going to look at the Christmas story according to Luke. What might we draw from Luke's account of Christmas? We'll look at the Christmas story according to Matthew. What might we pull out of the Christmas story from Matthew's perspective? We'll look at the Christmas story according to John. Well, wait a minute, I don't remember any shepherds or anything. And John, are you sure? Does he talk about? Well, stay tuned for that. But then the last one, the Christmas story according to Paul, the apostle. Well, Paul wrote epistles and letters to the churches. He didn't talk about the birth of Jesus, did he? Or did he? See, there's your homework assignment. Go home and find out where Paul talks about the birth of Jesus and the significance of that for us. Today, though, Christmas according to Luke. And I know we have heard this Christmas story. I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask you how many years running you've heard this story now. But I would say that many of us in this room have heard this story many, many times. But isn't it amazing, though, when we look at this story that we've heard many times, when our eyes are open, our ears are open, and our hearts are open, the things that God can show us. The fresh insights, fresh perspectives. And I pray that God will give you some fresh insight or fresh perspective. And as I was preparing for this series and reading through the Christmas story according to Luke, here is something that struck me. And that is the utter unlikelihood of it all. When I say unlikely, what do I mean? Well, unlikely, if you look it up in a dictionary, it'll say something that is improbable or not promising or even likely to fail. They'll say an unlikely hero. Improbable, not promising, likely to fail. Or I would say perhaps even what? Unexpected. Unexpected. We wouldn't think so, but while this story and elements of this story are unlikely, praise the Lord, it's true though. And so today I want us to see that in this story, we see that God came into the world in an unlikely way. And he used unlikely people to deliver an unlikely message of good news, of great joy. You see, God is in the business of doing unlikely things in unlikely ways through unlikely people. And I see some very unlikely people in this room right here. I see some very unlikely children of God in this room. And I happen to know of a very unlikely preacher this morning as well. And this all because of the grace of God, who specializes in doing unlikely, unexpected things in unexpected, unlikely ways. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me then to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. The Gospel of Luke chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 26 there. In the sixth month, that is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy with John the Baptist, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting that might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be," what? "No end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months, and returned to her home. So looking at that, what did we see there? Well, first recall, we see it. This occurred in the sixth month when this angel Gabriel came to Mary, the virgin. The sixth month of what? The sixth month when Elizabeth, Mary's relative, was pregnant with John the Baptist. And Mary lived in Galilee in a little town called Nazareth. Now, many of you already know this, but if you don't, Nazareth, we would might say, was not a town of great repute, not a town of great honor. It had a reputation as not a particularly great place. And so here is Mary, the virgin, betrothed to Joseph, living in this little town called Nazareth, a nothing town with not a great reputation at all. And of course, I think of that, and I've told you before, when I first moved out here to Wonder Lake, I heard sometimes people refer to Wonder Lake, and they would use this term that actually, you know, even to this, it bothers me. But you probably know the term that I'm talking about for Wonder Lake, don't you?
Wonder Tucky.
Wonder Tucky, that's right. Well, you know what? Nazareth was a little like Wonder Tucky. And this was where Mary lived. Unlikely, an unlikely town. Mary was a virgin, and she is told that she is going to conceive and give birth to the Son. And she understood that that was not going to be in the usual way. We know because she says, well, how can this be? For I am a virgin. So she understood this was not going to be a typical birth conceived in the usual way. Unlikely. Unlikely. She was betrothed to Joseph. You might think of betrothed, what was it? It was engagement on steroids, if you will, if you want to think of it that way. It was a legally binding contract. It was, they were not married yet, that is, they did not live together as husband and wife. But they were engaged to be married, and it was a serious commitment, a legally binding commitment. And the angel comes to Mary and he says, greetings, favored one. One who has God's favor and blessing upon her. And I find it interesting that immediately the text tells us, and Mary was troubled by this greeting. What do you think? If an angel appeared to you, first of all, that would be a frightening experience, I think. You know, that's often the experience of people in the Scriptures when they say, oftentimes they're told, the angel says immediately to them, what? Don't be afraid. Fear not. So, but it says Mary is troubled by this greeting. I think she's troubled. It said, oh, favored one. Wondering what kind of greeting this might be. I think this tells us something about Mary in her heart, in her character, that what? She was humble. Me? We might think, another way we might say, who, me? I'm the favored one? I have God's blessing of me? And that's why she was troubled by that greeting. But she's told she's going to conceive. She's going to bear a son, and she is to call his name Jesus. And Jesus, Yeshua, means what? God, the Lord, is salvation. God saves. Can you think of a better name? I don't think so. Call him Jesus, which means the Lord is salvation. He would be the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. Human and yet also God, the Son of the Most High. Of his father David, he would be human and his lineage would be through David. Why? Because God had promised many centuries before that Messiah, the Christ, the Deliverer, would come through the line of David, and that there would be a king who would sit on the throne of David forever. The kingdom that will last forever. So no, the kingdom of God is now, and yet in another sense, it is yet to come, isn't it? But it is an eternal kingdom, and a kingdom that will never end. Jesus was conceived by a virgin, virgin birth, conceived by the Spirit. And Mary is told what? For nothing is impossible with God. The God who brought everything into being by the power of His Word is the one. Is there anything impossible for Him? No. How can this be? Because He is God. That's how it be. We see Mary's humility. Troubled by the greeting. Who, me? I'm the favored one? And then she's told these incredible things. Unlikely things. And how does she respond? She says, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be so. Isn't that wonderful? That should be our response always to God, shouldn't it? When God convicts us of something or tells us something, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be so. Powerful example there for us. And then Mary's song, the Magnificat, it shows her to be a young woman who knew the Scriptures. Mary was an unlikely choice. You or I might not have picked her. But God did. Why? Because what did God see in her? God saw humility, faith, obedience, and a love for Him and for His Word. She knew His Word. That's evident in what she says there. So maybe she wasn't so unlikely after all, huh? Scriptures go on to tell us, though, in Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, what? Fear not, for behold, I bring you, what? Good news of great joy that is for who? All the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And then Luke goes on to tell us this. He says, and his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong and filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. A census. How many of you enjoy paying taxes? Anybody in here? I know of at least two people in here actually who really like to keep a lid on taxes in this county right here. But I think all of us like to keep our taxes as low as they need to be, right? But taxes are an inevitable fact of life, though. Today and back in those days too. And so in the Roman Empire, in order to finance their operations, they levied taxes, just like our governing bodies levy taxes. So there was a census. They wanted to count. Okay, who do we have? And why do you want the census? So you know who to tax and how much to bring in. And these decrees, this census, these would roll out in various parts of the empire. They didn't have the modern communications that we have today or the methods that we have today. So it would take a while to do this. And they would go through the empire region by region. And the time came for the region where Jesus would be born. So a decree goes out. Go to your ancestral home. For Mary and Joseph, that ancestral home was Bethlehem. Go there and to be registered. So Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem. And while in Bethlehem, she gave birth. And of course, we all know the famous story that there was no room for them in the inn. And I know we all love the Christmas plays of little kids where we have the innkeeper who says, knock on the door. And the innkeeper says, sorry, no room for you here. Well, the text doesn't say that that's what happened, that there was an innkeeper, but it makes for a nice Christmas pageant for our children, right? But the fact is, there wasn't room for them in what would be the standard accommodations one would use. There wasn't any room for them. So they had to go where they could go. I think part of the reason there wasn't room for them too is they needed a place for privacy, for Mary to give birth. And so they ended up in, well, an animal stall, essentially. Probably a cave. An unlikely place for God to be born, the Son of God to be born. And there were shepherds in fields nearby, going about their job, doing their job. Shepherds were considered, if you will, kind of on the lower end of the social pecking order. A shepherd was not a high-valued job. An important job, clearly. Just like there are many jobs that are very important that need to be done in our society, but those jobs are not, and the people who do them aren't considered on a higher level as some others. And the shepherds were on that low end of the scale for the job that they did. And isn't it interesting that God chose unlikely people like the shepherds to be the ones to announce the birth of the Savior to the nation? Simeon and Anna in the temple had waited a long, long time to see the Messiah, the Christ. And they were allowed to do so then when Jesus was brought to the temple. Well, I said at the beginning here that this is all some unlikely things, an unlikely story, a true story, but some strange, unlikely things, things that are not expected, that we wouldn't think that God would do it that way. An unlikely entrance, what I mean by that, an unlikely entrance for the way that God came into our world. You know, I've often thought, you know, if I were God, and by the way, I'm glad I'm not, and so are you, I don't know that I would have chosen to come into the world in this way. In fact, if you were thinking about it, how would you have expected God to come into the world? If you were going to visit this world, how would you have come into the world? Well, he came in a very unlikely way, a very unlikely entrance. First, he was preceded by an unusual messenger, John the Baptist, who was divinely ordained to prepare the way for the coming of Messiah, the Christ, the Deliverer. That even his birth was unusual or unlikely. His mother Elizabeth was advanced in age. She'd been barren all these years, and then, like that, she's now able to conceive, and this child we would come to know as John the Baptist. So he was preceded by an unusual messenger. His entrance was announced by angels. Anybody have angels come and announce when you were born? That's a little unlikely, isn't it? Unusual. But here's something else unusual. God joined with humanity through a virgin birth. First of all, that God comes into the world and unites himself with humanity. That is, he becomes one of us. Now, he doesn't stop being God. He's still God. He's fully God, but he's also human. He is just as human as you or me, except for one very important detail. He was without sin. So he is the God-man. And he joins himself with humanity. He becomes the God-man through a virgin birth. Only one in history. A very unlikely entrance. He came into this world in a sovereignly determined birthplace. Did it stop God that here as he chose Mary and Joseph? And they lived in this little town called Nazareth. Well, the scriptures had prophesied long before that the Savior would be born where? In Bethlehem. Was that a problem for God? Uh-oh. God thinks, what am I going to do about that? See, God uses people, institutions for his divine purposes, doesn't he? So Caesar orders attacks, having no idea that in so doing he's going to be used in that way to fulfill a divine prophecy. We have no idea the things that God is doing behind the scenes. Even the things that just seem mundane and everyday, we have no idea how God might be using that. It was a very unlikely entrance too, in that it was a humble crib. It was an animal feeding trough that he was put in. But here's something else that's a little unusual or unlikely. Giving all this, and then he comes into the world and he has a very normal childhood. What's unlikely about that? Because he's God, And yet, even his brothers and sisters, what, they didn't believe in him. You know what that says to me? He had a very normal childhood. There didn't seem to be anything that unusual or special about him. So he made an unlikely entrance. And God chose to use very unlikely people for his purposes. What? A nobody couple from a nowhere town, announced by nobody messengers. A nobody couple, this poor couple. Again, if I were God, I'm thinking, if I'm going to come into the world, boy, I want to be born in a royal palace to a rich couple, have all the advantages the world has to offer me. But he didn't do that, did he? He came to a poor couple from this nowhere town. Why? Because they were both, Mary and Joseph, were what? Were a man and a young woman, a very young man and young woman, of faith, of obedience, of devotion to the Lord. But as far as the world was concerned, they were nobody. And they came from a nowhere town. And when Jesus was born, boy, I think I would have wanted... I would have wanted the top echelon of society to see there and be there and spread the news. But who were the first ones to be told? The shepherds. They were the first to witness the coming of the Christ into the world. The first human announcers of his birth. God used then, and he still does today, use very unlikely people, people like you and me. And it was a very unlikely message. This message, a kingdom that will never end. Proud people will be humbled, and humble people will be exalted. Hungry people will be filled with good things. We're saying, well, spiritually hungry people who humble themselves before the Lord will be filled with blessing, eternal blessing, filled with good things. Well, meanwhile, the rich or what, or the people who think they have all, they don't need any of this, they're going to be sent away with nothing, empty. The proud humbled and the humble exalted. The hungry people filled with good things and the full people sent away. And it is good news of great joy. What is the good news? A Savior has been born. And through Him is life. Eternal life. Victory over our greatest enemy. What is our greatest enemy? Sin and death. That is good news of great joy, isn't it? But here's another element of this message that is a little unlikely. I'm going to call it a mixed blessing. What? How is this? This is good news of great joy. It is. But what was the mixed blessing? Well, Mary was given a mixed blessing, wasn't she? Because what was the prophecy that was said of her as she visited there in the temple? What was said? A sword will pierce through your own soul also. Mary treasured these things in her heart. But she said, this one who is this great blessing, he will cause the rising and the fall of many. Jesus was a stumbling block then, and he's a stumbling block today, isn't he? People continue to trip and fall over him. He is the greatest news ever, and yet he is also... He and his message offends so many too, doesn't he? He still continues to cause the rise and the fall of many today. And Mary treasured these things in her heart, but she was also told what? A sword will pierce through your soul also. Because he would do these wonderful things. He would deliver us, but he would do so in a painful way. And she would witness that, witness her Son crucified. But in so doing, Jesus reveals the truth about all of us, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Jesus is the judge of all history. He will reveal the hearts of all. Well, so what? What difference does it make? What do you want me to do with this? Okay, I see some unlikely things in this story here. An unlikely entrance into the world. Unlikely people were used for God's purposes. And it's an unlikely message, a message of great joy, a good news of great joy, and yet also a painful message. And that with it will come judgment as well. So what? I want to remind us again that that God came into the world in an unlikely way and used unlikely people to deliver an unlikely message of good news and great joy. He did it then. Do you think that God is finished doing things in an unlikely way? Is God finished with using unlikely people for his purposes? Is God finished with the message, with this unlikely message of good news? No. God is still doing unusual things through unusual people. And I see some of you unusual people here this morning that he uses. And we still have an unlikely message of good news to proclaim. So I'd ask you, are you a nobody from nowhere? Raise your hand if you're a nobody from nowhere. Let's see who's truly humble here this morning. Okay, good. All right. The world would look at us in here and say, well, there's nobody really special in there. They're from Wonder Lake. But God uses nobody's from Wonder Lake to do great things of eternal significance, doesn't he? Every day. We've been talking about this unlikely message of good news of great joy. If you believe that, we can't celebrate until we believe it, right? If you believe that, if you received that gift of eternal life through faith in Christ. So you and I were unlikely people that God is using to do unlikely things of eternal significance. But in so doing, we may be called to not only proclaim this good news of great joy for people, but be ready to suffer opposition as well. Because they opposed Jesus. The world opposed Jesus, didn't it? And it still opposes him today. And Jesus said what? He said, "What? If they persecute me, then they will persecute you. If they opposed him, they're going to oppose us." We have the greatest news ever. But yet standing for that truth sometimes requires a price, doesn't it? But is it a price worth paying? Eternally, infinitely so, isn't it? So as we celebrate Christmas, this Christmas season, I pray that you have believed that good news of great joy. Understand that you and me, nobodies from nowhere, are exactly the kinds of people that God loves to use to do unlikely things that have eternal consequences. And to be prepared to not only sing and praise and testify, but to accept and expect opposition, though, too. But we persevere knowing that he is worthy and all that we do in his name will count for eternity. So let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this good news of great joy that is ours in Jesus Christ. Thank you that we have the hope of eternal life in him and through his name. Father, thank you that you use unlikely people like me, like us, to do unlikely things that will have eternal consequences. So thank you, Lord, that you choose to use unlikely people like us. Thank you that you have blessed unlikely people like us with life and eternal reward. I pray, Father, that we would be faithful to your call on us to take that good news into all the world, starting right here in Wonder Lake. May we be faithful like the shepherds who faithfully testified of what they saw and heard. Lord, may we faithfully proclaim what we have seen, what we have heard, and leaving the results in your hands, knowing that some will believe and rejoice, some will oppose, but in the end, you will be praised. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.